and very graciously, as a prelude, played one of my very favorite hymns. It's not one that's in the LBW. It's not one that's in the Cranberry Book. It's not one that's in the Green Book or the Red Book, or if you're as old as I am, the Black Book. Anybody here remember the Black Book? You have to be a certain age to remember the Black Book. Just so that you know this, the reason I got introduced to that hymn is because of my college roommate. I went to Lenore Ryan Good Lutheran College in Hickory, North Carolina, and I met my college roommate there. She was a Presbyterian at a Lutheran school. And she was one of the sweetest people that, to date, I have ever known. She put up with me, after all. But she went home every weekend because she did, and still does, play the piano and the organ at Bethesda Presbyterian Church in downtown Cleveland, North Carolina. If you know anything about Cleveland, North Carolina, it is just barely a wide spot in the road, just almost a wide spot. And Bethesda Presbyterian is probably just about the only thing that's there, other than my roommate and her family. I would go home with her on a lot of weekends, because what college student would not prefer to eat good home cooking with a family? Why not? After all, you know, all I had to do for it was sing in the choir with Miriam. To this day, I get an email from her, and it's addressed, "Dear Rumi." That was almost 50 years ago, so our ties were pretty strong. After we graduated, she would still invite me to come and spend the weekend. And at that time, I had a Kerry Blue Terrier. Well, my Kerry Blue Terrier loved to sing.
Oh, no.
And Miriam would practice the piano, practice what she was going to play the next day. And Blue would sit next to the piano, and he'd go, "Woo! Was honestly he even pursed his lips. You know, it was not like a hound. He pursed his lips. He did his best to really sing. And he had actually some pretty good, you know, range. But that was surely goodness and mercy. And it still remains a heart song for me, because of Miriam introducing it to me and my memory of Blue singing along. Psalm 23 is attributed to David, who was himself a shepherd before he became a king. So his knowledge of sheep, pastures, potential harms, and love of God were very real. Psalm 23 is perhaps the best known and most beloved psalm of the Hebrew Bible. Its use at most funerals is kind of a given. The imagery of the entire psalm is lovely, but it's the beginning of it is what always just rocks me when I read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say that with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It gives you this feeling of warmth, of peace, of assurance inside you. And it's sometimes a mantra that I use. In the hierarchy that is true of most church bodies, the bishop is the pastor's pastor, their shepherd. That is why the symbol of the office of bishop is a shepherd's crook. Psalm 23 and the images of the good shepherd, the shepherd who looks for the lost sheep until it's found, are all reasons to love the pictures those words bring to mind. I know everybody in here has a picture in their memory of Jesus as the good shepherd, or God as the good shepherd. I recall one of my favorite depictions of Jesus as the good shepherd cradling a lamb in one arm and holding a shepherd's crook in the other. The pastoral images that populate most of the psalm describe a journey that God oversees and guides. The rest in green pastures is not a long stay, but a stop along the journey. David describes being on the move, walking beside the still water, along paths and through valleys. In reading the translation from Hebrew, the journey through the right paths is along an ox cart path, already cut into the ground for carts and for herds of sheep to follow. I'm sorry, flocks of sheep, not herds. Got my animal wrong. Flocks of sheep, sorry. The right paths lead through the darkest valley, where God's presence gives David and also the reader a feeling of security, because God is always present wherever we walk and wherever the path leads us. At the end of the path is a place of rest where the flocks, where the people can rest, eat, and drink at the table, even though enemies can be around. With all the goodness of a banquet, the flock and the shepherd are fed and anointed with oil. The final line of the psalm describes a place where we can end the journey, safe in the care of God forever. During the journey to the house of the Lord, goodness and mercy are our companions. Jesus tends to us and guides us into right relationships with each other and with Him. The paths we journey will likely be filled with danger, but because of God's presence, we can travel the paths without fear. In Jesus' journey, His path of righteousness led to the cross. But that's not the end of the story, as we well know. The good news of Psalm 23 is that when we walk the right paths, we walk with God. Today's scripture reading from Philippians is near the end of the letter to the believers at Philippi. We've already heard in the letter that Paul is yet again in prison for openly preaching the radical gospel of God's love made known to everyone through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Prison conditions have improved since Paul's imprisonment, but he was chained somewhere in a prison in Rome awaiting to find out whether he would be executed for preaching the gospel. That kind of constant fear will cause even strong men to renounce God. But Paul continued, even while he was in chains, in prison, to convert others to the way. Paul wrote his letters to the believers at Philippi, still a young congregation, because he wanted them to know that they were remembered and prayed for, even when they were already under related social and economic duress. He asked the community to stand firm along with Euodia and Syntyche in their belief in God. Paul's words to the community bring to mind the stirring inspirational message titled Letter from a Birmingham Jail, written by Martin Luther King Jr. King wrote to a community under siege for their proclamation of God's justice and concern for all people. This week's attack on Israel by Hamas terrorists certainly helps us to understand in a very small way what it is like to be attacked physically for beliefs that are sacred to us. I and everyone else pray that all those affected know the presence of God as they endure unimaginable circumstances. In jail in Rome, we find ourselves with Paul, unsure of what will happen to his life, but constantly concerned for the well-being of the believers at Philippi. He urges them to rejoice in the Lord. Paul is concerned about how to give the readers and hearers of his letters both hope and practical advice for making it through genuine threats on their community, with an underlying foundation of joy, peace, and community grounded in the power of God to bring the fullness of life in all circumstances. The Philippian congregation is to Paul both a personal joy and also a sign of the power of the gospel in people's lives. At the end of the letter to the Philippians, Paul gives thanks for the financial support they have given him while in prison, and also for Clement, the emissary sent to deliver letters back and forth. My favorite part of this scripture lesson is verses 6 and 7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. Just think. This was written by a disciple of Jesus Christ who was in chains in prison. He wanted to assure the Philippian congregation of the strength of their prayers and to help them feel the assurance that they gave and still do. Paul continues with admonishment to the community to practice having the mind of Christ. Verses 8 and 9 spell this out. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. These two congregations, Trinity and St. Jacob's, need to hear these words today. Y'all are going through tough times as you make decisions about leadership in both the short term and the long term. You need to hear what Paul told the believers in Philippi. You will need many prayers and much support over the coming months. Keep these verses from Paul's letter close by and take comfort that you will come through together. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.